Welcome to American Priorities with your host, Bill Federer. Stay tuned for the next exciting hour as we cover crises confronting our country and see them come into focus in light of history. Passing to posterity the blessings of freedom. And now your host for American Priorities, Bill Federer.
He's a researcher, a writer, a technical consultant. He has written many papers, including The Real History of the Crusades. He has been a chaplain and pastor. And he wrote The Surprising Origins of Santa and was cast into the Hallmark Christmas movie where he actually played a part, the mall Santa, on the screen. So joining me today is Reverend Austin Miles from California. Reverend Miles, welcome again to American Priorities.
Thank you so much, Mr. Federer. I'm delighted to be back. A lot has happened since we last talked.
Well, you keep busy, and tell our listeners a little bit about your background, some of the stuff that, if they're brand new to this program, that they can know about Reverend Austin Miles, and then you've got some very, very interesting news items that we're going to get into.
Yes, well, I'm a pastor and chaplain in Northern California. With Mountain View Christian Church there. I'm also the dean of students for the theology school there, our school of theology that we have, as well as being involved with the Trinity Christian School that we have. We're the first church, I believe, ever to take over a public school building. This was a brand new public school that was erected in Oakland, California, but meantime, the housing market dropped out, people were losing jobs, and here's this brand new school with no attendees to come. So it sat vacant for a while, and we were able to lease that school from the city, and it's a win-win for everyone because our Christian school, of course, takes advantage of the classrooms, and then we also have the auditorium for our sanctuary, and the neighbors love it because in a Christian school, instead of a public school, there's no noise, there's no problems, there's no fights, there's no graffiti, the place is kept up great, all the kids are polite. So I'm very much involved with that. I teach an elective course there as well. I think the biggest thing in the ministry is a chaplaincy. I've been ordained a chaplain for a long number of years, and I have established recently a chaplain corps, community chaplain corps in our church. The goal was to have 10 chaplains, and which will be available to the community. This is actually taking the church outside the sanctuary to minister to those outside. And it doesn't matter what church they go to or if they don't go to any church. We are available at the worst times in people's lives. Well, the people I was training for that have turned out to be superb. On the first group of chaplains, their final exam was to go to a military stand-down in Pleasanton, California at the fairgrounds. The military stand-down has just come up in recent years where they find veterans that are living on the street, homeless veterans who have needs. They set up a whole army camp in various communities throughout the nation, and they bring the veterans in by buses. They have tents for sleeping. They have cots for everybody there. They have a sleeping bag on the cot, which they have, and they can take with them at the end. There also is a big emphasis on the chaplaincy. And plus the fact there's a medical tent or vehicle, the medical trailer, and a dental trailer, so they can get that taken care of. They also have a DMV and legal tent where there's a judge and lawyers so that any of these homeless veterans that have a problem can get it resolved right then and there. They have a mess hall, and the chaplains are there, of course, to talk with them and eat with them as well. There were 90 volunteer chaplains there, and our five chaplains at that time, this was their final exam to take part. The chaplains were outstanding. While a lot of the chaplains were just kind of hanging out in the chaplain's tent, ours were greeting every bus that came in to greet every serviceman getting off of that bus so that they would be welcomed and to guide them, help them in any way possible during the stand down. They did so great that the General Dan Helix, is very well known. He was in the Korean conflict, but he's also the general with the United States Volunteers at present and working these stand-downs. He spotted one of our chaplains. He thought they were all doing outstanding, but one especially, the shyest one that you would have found, who was actually a Korean veteran, a combat photographer, brought him aside and swore him in as a military chaplain with the rank of major. Now, the other night, the night before Veterans Day, we had five more that were sworn in as military chaplains with ranks. So our chaplain corps is building, and of course the military chaplaincy will be an extension, but they are all trained out in the field to handle any kind of a situation that will be met, emergency situations, accident scenes, hospital calls, a crisis, an impending death of somebody, marital counseling, conflicts. We do all of that. Well, anyway, the chaplains came through that military standout beautifully, all of them. They were all officially commissioned as MBCC certified chaplains on the 12th of September, and we're adding to that daily. And just this recent thing before Veterans Day has excited everybody at the church, and it's getting out into international news because of the fact that this is the church going outside the walls in these last days, which I think is vital for the people to see real ministers out there who care about them no matter what their backgrounds are. And again, let me just mention, whenever you hear of these military stand-downs in your community, support them every way that you can. It's an exhilarating experience. The counseling can be intense with a lot of them. Sometimes this is the first kind thing that they've seen happen as they've lived on the streets and they've taken the abuse and things that go on with life on the streets. In fact, I reviewed a book recently. It's on my website called A Bum Deal, which tells a spectacular story of a homeless veteran and the way they were abused and the way that they were so mistreated while others were making a big profit on them for getting them involved in what they call bum fights and filming that. And these producers, gangster-type producers that do these things, a lot of them are just kids getting into the business there, they make millions upon millions of dollars with these videos. So, and that talks about the stand-down, because this one vet that was the subject of that book, whose life has turned totally around, it mentions a stand-down in there, and he does do talks as far as the veteran issue is concerned. So as you can tell, Mr. Federer, that is a passion of mine, the homeless and veterans, especially homeless veterans, and our church is reaching out. So that's got me occupied here, as well as being on the pastoral staff. I'm involved with just about everything that goes on in our church. We train ministers there. We have an interns class of 70 people who felt a call to the ministry or training to be ministers. It's a accredited class, and I teach one of the classes there as well as being dean of students. So we're preparing in these last days. We're seeing something. In fact, the swearing-in ceremony of our new military chaplains took place before the interns class, the 70 that are training to be ministers, so they can see these various outreaches that can be accomplished by ministers.
This
so
is absolutely tremendous.
Thank you.
Now, if somebody wants to get information on this, maybe they have a church and they want their church to get involved in a chaplain program like this, how could they contact you?
They can contact me through my email address, which is chaplainmiles, chaplainmiles.com. I'm spelling it out because sometimes people leave the A out. So it's chaplainmiles@aol.com.
And your website?
My website is www.revaustinmiles.com, revaustinmiles.com. And the website shows a lot there, and it also has pictures of some of the chaplains ordained. And by the way, I just about got my 10 already, and I'm going to have more than that in our chaplaincy corps.
Well, you are a great inspiration, and not bad for a 77-year-old, and you have a great voice. I could tell that you'd make a perfect Santa. And now, you also are a researcher, and you have been a technical consultant on a highly rated TV series, Ancient Secrets of the Bible, that debuted on CBS TV. We're going to go to a break, but when we come back, you have a very interesting story about President Obama pushing Islam in Ireland. When we come back, we're going to hear about this from Reverend Austin Miles. You're listening to American Priorities with Bill Federer. If you'd like to join us on the program, you can call in at 888-533-3551. And if you do, I'll send you a free copy of my book, Why America Should Be Under God. We'll be right back with Reverend Miles. Stay tuned.
As grandparents, we get a second chance to leave a legacy to future generations.
Grace-based advice from Dr. Tim Kimmel on today's Family Matters Minute.
One of the great ways we can build our legacy to our grandkids is by bearing the torch of moral living in an immoral world. They don't need lectures, condemnation, or empty pontification from us. They do need us to take bold and clear yet gracious stance on moral issues, especially ones they are struggling with. Grace-based grandparenting means that we can't condone the immoral choices our grandchildren make. Immorality ultimately destroys people. Condoning the wrong choices, whether verbally or through our silence, makes us accessories to their demise. But when we do take stands against an immoral world and influence it's having on our grandchildren, we must do it with the spirit of gentleness and compassion.
More information about Tim Kimmel's book, Extreme Grandparenting, is available at familymatters.net.
Freedom Radio FM would like to thank our listeners and sponsors for their financial support of American Priorities. It's with your continued support that programs like American Priorities continue to find a place on our network. If you would like to make a contribution, just log on today at freedomradiofm.com and click on the donate button. Create a one-time gift or start a monthly contribution. Any amount is appreciated. If your business or organization would like to become a sponsor of this or any other program on Freedom Radio FM, please call 888-533-3551 and dial extension 11. Freedom Radio FM, lighting the way.
Doing your homework?
Yeah, Dad. I have to explain where the universe came from.
Oh, I can help. The universe just appeared out of nowhere.
Science has disproved spontaneous generation many times. Something can't come from nothing.
Oh, well, then it's always been here. Want some ice cream?
The second law of thermodynamics proves the universe is winding down.
Your point being?
The universe has an end. Therefore, it had a beginning. Matter has not always existed.
Well, then the whole thing is just a figment of our imagination.
Dad, we can predict the movement of heavenly bodies. Predictability indicates it's not an illusion.
Those are the only three choices there are. What are you writing?
Well, the only logical option left is that God created it.
That doesn't sound very scientific. It has to be one of the other three.
Dad, you're not being logical. Can I have some ice cream now?
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Now, back to American Priorities with your host, Bill Federer.
Welcome back. We're visiting with Reverend Austin Miles. And Reverend Miles, you were telling me about something that I found shocking and sure enough went on the internet. And it's true that, you go ahead and tell us about our president and Ireland.
Well, and it's interesting because this was kind of kept out of the American press. But apparently, in Obama's so-called outreach to Muslims around the world, he had his people go over there, including the U.S. Ambassador Dan Rooney, who took part in the meeting, and called together a seminar of Muslim entrepreneurs and businesses in Ireland. And the main point of that whole conference, set up by the man who occupies the White House, I can't even call him president until he shows that identification. And I'm sorry, I respect the office, and I respect it too much to refer to somebody as president that is a question about his qualifications, especially his birth certificate. But anyway, the conference, the main point of the conference was the need for Sharia law. Is that Sharia or Sharia, Mr. Federer?
I've heard it pronounced both ways.
I have too. But the conference was the need for Sharia law, compliant financial products to be used. In other words, they want everything to come under Sharia law, which is a good beginning for it. Now, Ambassador Don Rooney, representing Obama, congratulated the organizers on Wednesday and said the U.S. was solid partners in the venture. Again, a venture to turn Ireland and place them under Sharia law, as he really wants to do here in America. And I got a real blockbuster for you in a minute. Now, he gave a copy of President Obama's book, The Audacity of Hope, to Ayman Hussein Halawa of the Islamic Cultural Center of Ireland, who opened the event. So they have Muslims there, too, with that, giving him a copy of this book. He stated, of course, at the conference, Tom Cooney, who's an academic director of the Dublin Institute of Technology, says 76% of Muslim business people in Ireland are securing finance, say securing finance is their biggest problem, and 90% said there is a need for financial products to be compliant with Islamic law. Now, I guess in Ireland, I think, Mr. Federer, I think there are about 45,000 Muslims in Ireland, and Islam is considered the third largest religion reported on the census form that's over there. So what they want to do, the Islamic objective, of course, is to avoid all transactions leading to disharmony among people, the Ayman said. So, of course, that's the big thing all around. Don't cause any disharmony with the people, especially to the Muslim population. It's a little bit on the one-sided story. But they said Islam was more than a religion. It is a way of life. Well, it's a way of life that I think most people would reject. So this is what they're trying to do with our president backing this in order to reach out to Muslims. I think it's a cockeyed idea. And let me tell you, there were hundreds of responses. Again, I found the item when it broke in the Irish Central, which is an Irish newspaper published in Ireland for Irish people. And I did never saw this in the United States newspapers. But the responses were vitriolic. The people were incensed. There are hundreds of the letters. And they said that they don't allow Obama to turn Ireland into what he's turning the U.S. into. That's just some of the things.
While you were talking here, I pulled up the IrishTimes.com, and sure enough, it says Muslim entrepreneurs need access to Sharia-friendly financial products.
There it is.
Prince Al-Walid bin Talal, he's the fourth richest man in the world. He recently bought 7% of Fox News. And he said, you do jihad through money. He says, yes, you can do jihad through killing, but you can also do it through buying financial interests in Western banks and businesses. And so we see this effort going. I talked to a friend in Africa, and he says that the Christians that go as missionaries to Africa have the theology that the ultimate sacrifice of giving up everything for Jesus is to be a missionary in Africa. So what do they preach? They preach giving up everything for Jesus. And so consequently, the converts are very poor. Whereas the Muslims, on the other hand, they take their Arab money and they finance merchants in these African towns, and they become wealthy merchants, and then they attract people that want to be wealthy too, and then they have the money, then they build the mosque, and then they go around to the people saying, hey, if you send your kids to our Muslim school, we'll pay for their clothes. And so they end up taking over these villages, but they do it through money. And so here our president is over in Ireland, or the U.S. Embassy underneath of our president is pushing Sharia law financial compliance in Ireland.
You know, I hope everybody listened very carefully to what you were saying there about how they're working their way in. It's the camel's nose under the tent. Just like with this, this is the step to get Sharia law for the whole country and to become the law, which is exactly what they're trying to do here in America. Now, there's something else, too, that is happening. You remember the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the one who was a mastermind of the bombing of the World Trade Center?
Right.
And so anyway, they identify him as KSM. So anyway, this man is in prison, but they have delayed his trial. Now listen to this. Obama has delayed the trial to make sure that trial does not take place until after the 2012 election. And so naturally, I start analyzing all of this thing. By that time, we may have Sharia law by the time that comes.
It's interesting when you see when a country becomes Muslim.
Yes.
Their law says that no Muslim shall be killed for killing a non-Muslim. And
yes.
So here's our president saying, okay, this sheikh was responsible for killing non-Muslims. Under Sharia law, that Obama cannot have a Muslim be killed for killing non-Muslims. Then you look at when Muslims have Sharia law, when a Christian church is destroyed, non-Christians are not allowed to rebuild it. And so when 9/11 happened in New York City, a Greek Orthodox church, St. Nicholas Church, was destroyed. It's been eight or nine years. They've not been allowed to rebuild. And then the military. In Sharia law, when Muslims take over a country, non-Muslims are forbidden to insult Islam. And so here, Franklin Graham was invited to speak at the National Day of Prayer event at the Pentagon. Yes. But he had said something insulting to Islam, so our president used the bully pulpit of his position to have Franklin Graham disinvited. So the president is, by his actions, instituting Sharia law, a dhimmi status for our country.
You know, this kind of a thing has been slipping in, and the Americans have to wake up. You know, it's funny, I saw an interesting article by Chuck Baldwin, called Bread and Circuses, which tells how the Roman Empire distracted their people so much that they didn't have time to question what was going on in the empire, which is exactly what we are doing today here. Now, regarding this tax, they have a tax for non-Christians. For instance, there's a friend of mine in this area, Northern California, who ran a clothing store, or still does, a very sweet man from Egypt, and he's a Coptic Christian. The Coptic Christians are one of the original bands of Christians after they had the original church, which then got into it over doctrine and split. And from there became the Catholic Church, the Orthodox Church, and actually the Coptic Church has not been as recognized as they should. They are very, very fine people. I met them over in the Holy Lands, and they know more about the Bible. My gosh, I thought I knew about the Bible, but this one friend of mine that owns a clothing shop can ask me questions that just keep my head spinning. He's a scholar, wonderful man. And so we were talking. In fact, I want to go to one of the services over there because they have services on a Saturday in Concord. But one day I came in to see him, and he was extremely sad. He was upset, and I said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "I just received a phone call from Egypt. There's a friend of his that's there who they make any Christian pay most of their salary to the Muslim for the damietet." How do you pronounce that, Mr. Federer? It's a tax that the Muslims put on non-Muslims. In
jizya.
Other words, tribute. So what is it?
Jizya.
Yeah, okay, thank you. But they put it on non-Muslims as like a tribute you have to pay to them. So, I mean, it's strong arm, unless you convert to Islam. His friend, they started shaking him down, not only for the percentage of tax they levied on him, but they were demanding his whole check and his goods and everything else. He called the police, finally, to report it to the police in Egypt. The police came. What did they do? They assisted the Muslim. They threw this man out the window, his friend, and he was killed, of course. They were at a high floor. This is what the Sharia law is going to bring to all of us. And
now, another story that I recently heard from Egypt is that I spoke in Virginia. 300 pastors at a Virginia Family Foundation event. They had Congressman Randy Forbes, David Barton, myself, Reverend E.W. Jackson. Afterwards, I had a Egyptian minister come up and said that today in Egypt, they are taking Christian girls away from their Christian families and sticking them in harems as slaves. And if the parents go down to the police and report it, they arrest the parents.
Yes,
and they said, she went from the darkness to the light. You should be happy. She's Muslim now. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't understand. When Oklahoma passes a law to outlaw Sharia law, this is what we want to outlaw. We don't want daughters taken away from Christian families and stuck in Muslim harems.
And not only that, but CARE, Council of American Islamic Relations, filed a lawsuit against that law to stop it, to stop the ban on Sharia law.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're listening to Santa Claus. Just kidding. Reverend Austin Miles, who played Santa Claus and actually did some tremendous research on the real origins of St. Nicholas. Maybe we can mention a little bit about that when we come back from the break. And you're listening to American Priorities with Bill Federer. If you have a question for Reverend Miles, you can call in at 888-533-3551. Again, 888-533-3551. Reverend Miles' website is revaustinmiles.com, R-E-V-A-U-S-T-I-N-M-I-L-E-S.com. And join us. Call in at 888 888- 888-533-3551. I'll send you a free copy of my book, Why America Should Be Under God. Again, 888-533-3551. We'll be right back.
This is Walk the Way. I'm Jeff Klein. Ever see one of those street performers who spins plates on top of sticks? The sticks are all different heights, and the goal is to get a plate on each one and keep the plates spinning before any of them crashes to the ground. It's pretty fun to watch. But lately, I feel like my life's become just like that, and it's not so fun to be the plate spinner. Do you ever feel that way? Here's a few of my plates. Connecting with God and growing in Him. Plate 2, my wife and my marriage. Plates 3, 4, 5, and 6, my four kids. Number 7, being a parent to those kids. Plate 8, my calling as a pastor and my work with the church and those who need my support throughout the week. And of course, there are more. How do I keep them all spinning? Should I? My arms are tired just talking about it. What about you? What are your plates, and how do you keep them spinning? Join the conversation on Facebook.com/walktheway.
Here is something you may not have thought about. There is one kind of person on earth who never lies, never exaggerates, never criticizes, and never brags. Who is that person? It's the person who never speaks. Now, I've used that impossible example to make this point. The more we speak, the more likely we are to say something we will regret. That's a principle of Scripture, too. Proverbs says that in a multitude of words, sin is not lacking. The book of James says to be slow to speak. Conquering the impulse to speak out takes self-control, a fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's gift of edifying speech on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Welcome back to American Priorities. To become involved in today's discussion, call toll-free 888-533-3551. Now, here's your host, Bill Federer.
Welcome back. We're visiting with Reverend Austin Miles, and he is a minister, a chaplain in California, and a website, revaustinmiles.com. And we've been talking about President Obama, and one of the things is his promotion of Islam in Ireland to force the Irish to allow Sharia finance. That's where part of your money goes to spreading Islam. And you also have on your website an article about a sixth grader's field trip to a mosque. And
Yes. And by the way, let me just inject this, if I may, with your permission. We were talking earlier about Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who was the instigator of 9/11, and how that Obama has made sure that his trial does not take place until after the 2012 elections, because, and I said, you know, we could have had Sharia law by that time, or if he is reelected to a second term, I believe he would let this man go free. I really think so. Now, as far as the Islamic trip, now in our public schools, we're not allowed to pray. We're not allowed to talk about Jesus. Teachers have been dismissed for having a Bible just simply sitting on their desk and wearing a cross. And yet, in this case, in a school out in Massachusetts, they took an entire sixth grade class from Wesley, Massachusetts, to a mosque, a prominent mosque, to take part in the prayer service there, a public school trip to the largest mosque in the Northeast. And they not only were there, they separated the boys from the girls. The whole service was going on. They had the boys physically get down on their knees, put their foreheads to the floor, and pray. And the teachers did absolutely nothing. They could have just been stunned. I don't know. I couldn't imagine me being silent if this took place. But this was... there was a video taken of it, which I posted on my website, which you can see it there. That was taken inside the Islamic Society of Boston Cultural Center. And it's a Saudi-funded mega mosque. And this is where that the Wesley Middle School social studies trip to the mosque. By the way, these are sixth graders. The story that I broke internationally was when it was discovered that they were teaching, there was a required course on Islam for 7th grade public school students. And that had been worked in secretly through the 1990s up until the point of right after 2011 when it was brought to my attention. And then, of course, the story came out on it. So they were going there, bowing down, taking part, and the lies that they said, how they misrepresented Islam to the schools. They said women have full rights. They said they were voting there before they could vote in America. In fact, the Muslim Brotherhood of America is very closely associated with that mosque. And a lot of people there that have been in jail for all kinds of things. I wish they'd call it treason like it should be called.
Well, you know, a little bit of history here. When the Muslims took over Turkey, they would take the boys from the Christian families and would separate them from their families, and they would make them the possession of the Sultan. They were called Janissaries, new soldiers. And they would force them to convert to Islam, force them to be soldiers in the Muslim army to fight the next Christian city. So they actually took the Christian kids and raised them up to be soldiers to fight the Christians. And if the boys were pretty, they went into the Muslim pederasty, their homosexual culture, where for hundreds of years, called the sodomy of the Turks, where a sultan could have 1,000 wives, men could have multiple wives, and boys were just considered spoils of war. And so we see that this trend of wanting to take kids away from countries and train them to be Muslims is has quite a long history in Islam.
It does. And not only that, too, the misleading of the people, the way they bring them into this. For instance, I was on a Fox News one time with a leading Muslim, and he came to take me on, and he was defeated. I had done my homework. And we talked later on, and I said, I think we should keep the dialogue open. I said, I think, you know, I know you're passionate about your cause. He said, yes, I am. And I said, well, I'm passionate about mine, too. I understand you are, and you have to understand I'm passionate about mine, but we should continue to talk because perhaps both of us being leaders, perhaps we could see peace. He said, oh, that would be wonderful. Of course, I understood that. What I didn't bite. But peace to the Muslim means that I convert to Islam so they don't have to cut off my head. But
right.
I asked him,
people
I
don't understand that Islam is a religion of peace, but their definition of peace is when the whole world submits to the will of Allah, there will be peace. So
exactly.
To a Muslim, world peace means world Islam.
That's right, world domination. And another thing, too, I asked him, as we talked privately after, we took a walk together after the telecast, and I said, what attracted you to Islam? And he said, well, the camaraderie, the community, the morals. Well, I didn't bite. The Muslims probably are so more lacking in morals than most groups of people. In fact, the night before they did the thing for Allah of flying the planes into our World Trade Center in New York. The night before, all those involved with these airplane hijackings and killing, the next morning, spent their evening in a strip joint, putting $100 bills down the G-strings of the strippers. And this is, you know, so the morals doesn't exist. I mean, the idea that you would actually kill yourself in order to kill other peoples and their God. And it's not the same God as our God. I want to make that very, very clear because that's been so misunderstood, purposely so. But with that, they are doing this, and they will be rewarded by their God, Allah, Alilah was the first part of the name, by giving them 72 virgins for a paradise of sexual exploits that lasts in the eternity. And this
right,
is called morals.
Right, that it's actually a sexual motivation to die in jihad. There's only one verse in all of Islam that promises paradise, and it says when you fight in Allah's holy battles, you will get booty, because Muhammad said you can have four wives plus as many as your right hand possesses, as many as you take in battle. So you can come away from battle with some extra women. So if you fight in Allah's holy battles, you'll get booty, and if you'll die, you'll go to paradise where you'll have eternal booty, so to speak. So people don't understand being a martyr in a Jewish and Christian concept is I love God so much that even if you kill me, I won't deny him. But
yes,
the concept
exactly.
of martyr in Islam is while you die, while you're murdering somebody, you'll get sexual, rewards.
That is absolutely the definition of this whole idea of martyrs. They have perverted the word martyrs totally with those statements that they're making on that. that the idea, too, of just killing for the sake of killing. I mean, there was one time, there was one Muslim who couldn't find his target, so the guy said, just go blow yourself up. And he did. I saw a photo that was sent to me by a chaplain in London that I'm friends with, and he showed me a photo of a marriage there that took place of about 25 Muslim men with eight, nine, and 10-year-old brides. I kid you not. Dressed up in the bridal, then going through the wedding ceremony. I looked at that, it made me sick to my stomach. But it was there.
Wow.
So these are the morals. So the morals do not exist. I've known some Muslims that were very upright, and I have to say that. But I'm telling you, in general, I mean, I'm saying that it's a smaller percentage. That people keep saying, well, the majority of Muslims are okay. No, as long as they're reading the Quran and under the law of Islam, they're not okay, because that's their first priority. They cannot be trusted. The only Muslim I feel that can be trusted is those who renounce Islam and leave the mosque, and then let's see what their life is for the next few years after that. But that's the only way, and the tie is so deep and so hideous, and it puts everybody on earth in jeopardy. Now, for instance...
Well, no, I want to interject here. If someone's listening and would like to call and join us on the program, speaking with Reverend Austin Miles, you can at 888-533-3551, 888-533-3551. You know, I want to throw in that the concept of sin is different in Islam.
The
Judeo-Christian concept is there are these laws of God that are perfect, and when you break them, you need a sacrifice, and the sacrifice restores you to fellowship with God. And obviously, as Christians, we believe Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God. In Islam, they don't have a fall and redemption theme. They just have obedience. You just obey Allah, and you never know if you've obeyed him enough. Even Muhammad said, I don't know what Allah will do with me. And but the Muslims think, well, how do we know how to obey Allah? Muhammad's life. So his life is the sunnah, the way, the example. And so what Muhammad permitted is permitted. That's called halal. And what Muhammad did not permit is not permitted. That's called haram. And so in Islam, lying, cheating, and stealing, murdering, and raping is not always wrong. Muhammad just tells you when it's okay to lie, when it's not okay to lie, when it's okay to rape, when it's not okay to rape, when it's okay to murder, when it's not okay to murder. And so they strive to follow his example. It's not a conscience-based religion where there's these eternal laws, and when I violate them, the Holy Spirit convicts me. No, this is an outward thing where you want to follow Muhammad's example.
Yeah, and out of that, too, these people who distort history... There was a Christian commentator that wrote an article about Islam and how that you know, we talk about Islam after the World Trade Center thing. He said, but we are guilty, the Christians are guilty for their own atrocities. Like the Catholics, in order to have world domination and have a one-world religion with Catholicism, they went out and slaughtered people in other lands and all this kind of thing. I wrote a response to that. It was a story that was published worldwide, and I really came down. I hate for people to skew history like that. But number one, the Catholic Church did not come into this for years later. Islam was taken over every place by the sword, including all of Italy. They were taken over places. They were also bombing holy places like monasteries and churches. This is why today you have the Leonine Wall around the Vatican, because that goes back from the days when they were trying to protect the Vatican. The things were going so badly, the world was so terrified by these Muslims, that China even contacted the Vatican and said, can you do something about this, because everybody is in danger. It was then, 658 years later, that the Crusades began. I think that was marvelous restraint the Catholics had. But this was finally in response to all the attacks against them, all those years, hundreds of years, by Islamic forces, that the Crusades began. It was not for Catholic predominance on that. And I really feel this history has to be straight.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're visiting with Reverend Austin Miles, and his website, RevAustinMiles.com. And when we come back, we're going to hear some more about what he's working on, some news reports that he has on his website. And if you'd like to join us, you can get a free copy of my book, Why America Should Be Under God. The call-in number is 888-533-3551, 888-533-3551. And my website is AmericanMinute.com, where you can visit and sign up for a free daily email called The American Minute, something that happened on each date in American history. And also become a friend of Freedom Radio. You can go to FreedomRadioFM.com and support us. A little bit a month stretches a long way, and we need you. We'll be right back on the flip side. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Lighten Up, brought to you by Compassion International, releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. I'm Dr. Wes Stafford, inviting you to join author, speaker, and comedian Ken Davis with this fun but challenging story about witnessing.
And most people get scared to death about witnessing because they think of it as this little thing. They're waiting now. They got it in their pocket. This is my witness, and I'm waiting for opportunity. Let's see, is this the time I should witness? And that's what Beth had done. She had a little tract in her pocket, and she was going to witness. And they continued talking, and finally this young lady said to Beth, "Will you show me how I can accept Christ, how I can know his forgiveness?" And Beth said, "Sure." The witness was forgotten way down in the pocket. They pulled over by the side of the road, and she prayed to receive Christ. Beth came into my office on Monday, tears streaming down her face. She told me the whole story and continued to weep. I said, "Beth, what's wrong?" She said, "Now I'm done. I don't have anybody else." I'm only exaggerating a little tiny bit. I said, "Beth, pick someone else." And she went, "Oh."
Maybe sharing the gospel would be easier for us if we simply remembered where the term witness came from. Rather than describing the speech we practice for the right occasion, 90% of witnessing occurs when people see our love for God in our actions. Lighten up and live.
You've been listening to Lighten Up with Ken Davis. You can visit us on the web at compassion.com.
Welcome back to American Priorities. To become involved in today's discussion, call toll-free 888-533-3551. Now, here's your host, Bill Federer.
Before we get off, I want to mention ChristForAllPeoples.org. This is a website where you can get a DVD of the Jesus film, which is the life of Jesus according to the Gospel of Luke. Everything Jesus says is from the Gospel of Luke. ChristForAllPeoples.org, you can get this and in 16 different Muslim languages. And so it's one DVD, and you give it as a gift, particularly around Christmas time. You give it to a Muslim, keep some in your purse or in your car, and give it as a gift if you see a lady with a veil on. And it just presents the gospel of Christ in 16 different Muslim languages. And there are thousands of stories of Muslims who have come to faith in Christ as a result. But right now we're visiting with Reverend Austin Miles, the website RevAustinMiles.com. And you have a little feature on there, Milestones to Tombstones. Yes. Tell us about this.
Well, this is sometimes kind of a cockeyed view of the news that I do have a sense of humor, and I get a kick out of some of the things that go on in the news and some of the contradictions that take place. So I every so often I'll put that on my website, Milestones. In this case, it's Milestones and Tombstones, because of some of the things that are going on in the world right now, especially after the elections. So we had a something that came up recently with Obama. As you know, he's been on a round the world trip, basically, but in Asia, reaching out to Muslims. Now, he stated this in Indonesia. Now, consider this one. I've got this on the website in the milestone. He stated, "Indonesia, an overwhelmingly Muslim nation, is a model where other religions are respected freely," and that's as far as I could get. Not that long ago, my son was in Singapore, and he wanted to go visit Indonesia, but he stopped short when he was informed that Muslims will stop buses wherever they are throughout that country, enter armed Muslims, enter the bus, and demand to know who is Muslim, and the ones who are not Muslims, that means Christians especially, are taken outside the bus and shot dead right there. And yet here's Obama, a man who was shown, and I put a picture on my website of him praying in a mosque while the Fort Hood shooter was getting ready to plan that thing and get that thing going. But this is just an absolute outright lie. There's no freedom of religion there. And it's a deception for him to be able to say that to people, that this is happening.
But you can lie in Islam. It's called taqiyya. Tell us about this.
Well, because anything that you feel, you're permitted to lie to a Christian in order to further their agenda. It's as simple as that. You can tell a lie. So in other words, you cannot depend on one thing that a Muslim will tell you. And that is in their Quran. I have read the Quran. I have seen it. And I, by the way, I didn't find any word love in the Quran or anything to do with love, by the way.
Yeah, there's also no verse that says do unto the infidel the way you want the infidel to do unto you.
No, that's true. That is very well. And by the way, I had to mention this in Milestones, the fact about these airport searches. There's so many protests going on at the airports today because they have these machines that literally show everything you've got in these machines. And this is kind of interesting about it. And of course, they will pat you down, and I mean groping. This isn't just patting. This is groping. And I said to Shirley as soon as it happened that, well, Obama did promise that our country would be transparent. Well, I think you got a little bit too far with this thing. But now dig this. The Muslims now are entering in and suing, saying that Islamic law prevents a Muslim from being stripped like that, you know, in a machine, to see through them like that. And so now they are demanding they be exempt from these security measures. So this means that everybody but Muslims will be searched before boarding a flight. And to my recollection of this thing, it seems like these searches began precisely because of Muslims smuggling bombs and other explosive on planes to blow them up, which is what resulted in these pre-flight searches. So, I mean, it's getting nuttier and nuttier out there. This is a very, very good example of that. One thing,
it does not make any sense whatsoever unless the agenda is to advance Islam.
That's what it is. And we have one in the White House who is more than willing and happy to do that because that is his background. And I've got pictures that I put on the website, including a birth certificate showing that he was clearly born overseas in a Muslim country. So all that is on the website, and yet he's still getting by without that being challenged.
Oh, interesting. Do you know who defended the president on every case questioning his birth certificate? The Solicitor General was Elena Kagan. That's right.
Yes.
Elena Kagan was the one
yes.
who got all those cases thrown out, and Obama rewarded her by putting her on the Supreme Court. So if any case questioning his birth should make it to the Supreme Court, she'll do the same thing.
And by the way, let me make something really clear, too, because because of the misconception given purposely on this, they say, well, we worship the same God. I've heard that come out of some pretty distinguished quarters. That is absolutely untrue. We do not worship the same God. Following 9/11, I remember one of the Muslim leaders, Islamic leaders, proclaiming in victory after that, he said, listen to this, this just proves that our God is more powerful than your God. See, so in other words, it's pretty clear, but the word Allah was a term that would refer to anything that would be a higher power over us. And so when Muhammad was getting together his things, interesting, Gabriel came and gave him this new thing that he's supposed to do. Now, Gabriel's the archangel of Israel, so he's going to now switch sides now and go with him. But anyway, where were we now?
Well, we were talking about Islam and talking about how it's not the same God. And,
yeah,
we only have about 2 minutes left, so I want to make sure we let you finish here.
Yeah, okay. So what it is, when Muhammad was putting all this together, claiming that it was given to him by Gabriel, he took the moon god's name was Alilah. That was a moon god. It was married to the sun, had a couple of daughters, but he did prevent the worshiping of the daughters. I'm doing a real quick take on this. But Alilah came very close to Allah, and that is the moon god that they worship, which is why you see the crescent moon and the star on all the symbols of Islam. It is not the same God we worship. And for God's sake, everybody listening, don't allow anybody to get you into that trap. It is simply not true. We serve a loving God, the one God, Jehovah, and it has nothing to do with Allah. And at those last days, God will say, I never knew you.
We have a quick caller. We just got a minute left. But, Kathy, you're on with Reverend Austin Miles.
Okay, hi. You pretty much already answered my question, mostly, because I was curious because of our Mr. Obama in the White House.
Yes.
And he said that we weren't a Judeo-Christian country, and he's always saying, and basically, that he's pushing the Muslim. I mean, he doesn't say that, but he does. He shows it in
yes,
all of his
he
actions.
Does.
Well, I've heard, and you discussed it just a few minutes ago, that they can lie,
yes.
and it's all right with them to do that. Is that why he's in the White House, is to lie and take over the country?
That's why he's
Muslim,
there.
So that everybody turns into Muslim?
Yes, exactly. And let me just mention it real quickly. The reason he was not voted in, don't let anybody tell you that, he absolutely was not. He was placed there by the Marxists who've been settling all over the country and the people that he was in contact with. This has been in the planning for a long time. It's why they got all the block, the paperwork blocked. He was not voted in. He was placed there for that very purpose to
now,
send
Reverend
America.
Miles, we got to run here, but
yes.
Your website again, RevAustinMiles.com.
Yes.
And I want to thank you for being our guest. We're going to have you back on. You do a tremendous job. We just love it when you're on. And Kathy, give your address to the call screener, and we'll send you a free book. Is that okay?
Oh, yes. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to American Priorities with Bill Federer, interviewing Reverend Austin Miles, and my website, AmericanMinute.com, and become a friend of Freedom Radio. Go to FreedomRadioFM.com. You can help us to continue to pass to posterity the blessings of freedom.
This has been American Priorities. The opinions and views expressed on today's program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or sponsors of this station. Tune in again as we cover the crisis confronting our country and see them come into focus in light of history. That's next time on American Priorities. Rebroadcast of this program is strictly prohibited without the express written consent of American Priorities and the Edgewater Broadcasting Network.